everyone. Welcome back to the How to Podcast series. I'm excited to have everyone back again. Another episode here on the show, and we're going to be talking about all things podcasting. And specifically, we're going to be talking to a podcaster in my part of the world, which I'm excited about. We're going to be looking at working with industry pros and launching your podcast as a form of content marketing. My guest, Scott, is here, and we'll be chatting about all things podcasting. Scott, hey, welcome as my guest co-host. Glad to have you here.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here to get to interact with another podcaster. And like I said, you're semi close to where I am. Let everybody know where you are, Scott.
Yeah, so I'm in Toronto, in the northeast corner of town. It's relatively quiet today, but we'll see how that goes.
Good stuff. And talk about your podcast journey. Tell us a little bit about what you've done in the past and what you're doing right now.
So I got started back in 2008, back in the days where you had to write your RSS feeds in by hand, mm-hmm. in WordPad, uphill both ways, in the snow, all that. And I started out as a hobbyist, talking about movies and TV and other things I liked. And eventually I got a gig with a video game website, and I became part of their podcast team, produced a very successful show called The Active Topical Banter Show. And my academic career was on the rocks at the time. I just didn't have a lot of energy for anything. I was working two part-time jobs pretty often, trying to make things work. And the only thing I liked doing was actually podcasting. So I turned around and I said, okay, if I'm going to do this as a job, I can't just say, look at these episodes I made. Everyone has, every hobby podcaster has 100 episodes they've made and then they tell people, oh yeah, no, I'll cut your show. So I went to radio school. I spent a little time in radio, community level, small town news. I did a bunch of imaging production for MuCap, now Stingray. So if you're in Toronto and you can hear things, a bunch of very boring work I had to do to get their top of the hour system to work. It's about taking 2-second clips of songs and adding timing markers to them so the automator can play them very quickly. Nice. It's without having it. They used to pay a mashup DJ to make these little 10-second things of songs that were going to come up in the second half of the hour at the top of the hour. And they were like, okay, no, we need to automate this. We were pretty sure we can use the wide orbit automator to do this. We just need someone to sit down with 9,000 songs, decide what the 4.5 seconds of that song makes you want to hear that song.
Wow.
And then add a little marker for wide orbit at the VP of production literally just tapped the desk. It's like this long, ba-dum-bum. And I'm like, okay, that is. And at around the 1,000th one, I realized that rhythm was 8,500ths of a second, which sped up the next 8,000 clips, I'll tell you what.
Wow.
And I got out of radio because apparently they don't need you when you finish automating 9,000 clips. And I got into commercial podcasting, which is to say that I do various elements of production for a couple of different clients who are all in sort of the professional managerial class, people who run businesses, people who are engaged in sort of various different types of work. I've worked with someone who helps women coach women to be better public speakers and better boardroom presences. I also do a lot of work with a group of lighting distributors, which led to me hosting two news shows. Because again, everything you do is something you can pull forward and use as a new skill. So my ability to go through 100 different websites and newsletters and turn that into a short column about tabletop RPGs turned into, all right, we're going to give you a bunch of magical internet gnomes that search news feeds, and they're going to tell you 1,000 headlines that have lighting in them. Mm. You're going to turn that into 100 headlines that you're going to read in 10 minutes. So that's the lighting industry news brief. And wow. I hit a headline a minute, and it's, which is, wow. Yeah. And I do that weekly. And I did that for 4 years without missing a week. Like consistency is key, but I think everyone agrees that that was a bit dumb. I should have taken a vacation somewhere.
Gee, and that's nothing you can really do in batch recording in advance, right?
No,
like a month before, because you got to wait for the news to hit.
I don't know when Philips is going to shut down their Texas plant. I don't know when they're going to do that.
Right.
And
wow.
There's also a flip side to that show about Dark Sky related news. That's only about 10 stories every 2 weeks. I still take 10 minutes to do it because I get to explain things better. But that's what I do now. And I also work with clients to develop shows that help their brand. And I think I was reading this article, I think it was in Vice, about how everyone in the professional managerial class can't just be good at their job anymore. They have to be visible in their job out there. You have to have, you know, you've got 65-year-old accountants being told, well, you really need to boost your LinkedIn presence. And I'm like, they're an accountant with four decades of experience. That's all I need. That's all I need to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
good.
But no, I'm now working with a clinical psychologist specialized in addiction therapy. And what he's working towards is building up sort of 5-minute shows that we might also kind of TikTokify for video that would be about him. Not talking about his client experiences, because that's ethically fraught, but it's like, no, let's talk about addiction. Let's talk about counseling and let's just broadcast that to people. And right now we're in the audience building phase of that. But the whole point I want to talk about is that you should podcast about your job like we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is if everyone in the professional field, everyone with a white collar job has to be self-promoting now. You need to be have content to market. And I think podcasting is a good fit for a lot of industries and a lot of people because no one gets talker's block.
Okay, wait, do that again.
No one.
Because I've never heard anyone say that before. That's
like,
good.
Like, I get writer's block. I get writer's block. I have to write a magazine every quarter. And I'm like, I have nothing. The blank page is absolute tyranny. But no one gets talker's block. No one, like if you find a client and you say, look, what do you do? Well, I'm a drywaller. Well, okay, obviously writing about drywall is too blank for surfaces now. But if you say, all right, just talk about being a drywaller, and we turn that, whether that is like Instagram reels or a short podcast, or you start interviewing other drywallers or whatever. Hell, we even just take the interview and we send that off for someone to write into something, right? I've certainly done that for people. And it's like, no one gets talker's block. So you get people talking and eventually you're going to have something you can work with.
Smart.
Yeah.
I love talker's block. That is, again, I think that might be part of the title of this episode just in there. So thank you for that. Okay. Talk about the connection between podcasting and content marketing kind of a little bit more. What is that bridge between the two and how do we make that stronger?
Well, I think obviously podcasting is a big wide field and it's all content. But when we talk about content marketing, that's definitionally you are making a thing to market yourself. So for a lot of people, when they make a podcast, that is the product. We're going to turn around and we're going to sell this to, mattresses that come in boxes, underwear, subscriptions to food kits, audible.com, you know, all these things, you know. And so the podcast becomes a thing you give to your audience for free. The audience becomes the product that you then sell them things on. This is kind of flipping that in. This is when we talk about content marketing, we're flipping that. We are saying, no, the show exists to advertise you. We're going to get people to listen to a 45 advertisement of you, a 45-minute advertisement of you. And we're going to do that by coming up with something compelling for you to say or to talk to other people. And that is what we do. We use the show to point back at you. It improves your visibility, whether that leads to you getting new clients, new jobs, or just getting promoted. I'd love to see someone get promoted for starting. I'm actually working with someone. He's a car salesman, very new to the field. And it's like, no, I think we could get you promoted if we made you a big deal in the auto subculture on the internet.
Nice. Yeah, like I think of like a real estate agent who does a podcast around real estate, but also around the area where they do their service area and inviting people to know more about the community. If I'm going to move from my location now to this new location, hearing a podcast about that place I might be moving to would be great. And then also you'll be my real estate agent because when I get there, I've listened to your
episodes.
You
already know this guy. We have this tremendous parasocial bond, real estate guy. Sell me a condo.
Right. So you've already built that relationship in advance just by doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Simple.
Straightforward.
Right. Like it. So over the years, with all the years you've done in podcasting, what are you excited about as we grow the medium? And what are you a little nervous about or a little, I'm kind of working my way through this, my thought pattern about what's coming?
What I'm actually excited for, and we're starting to see it happen, is obviously over the past few years, we saw the exclusivity wars where we had Spotify buying up just dozens of shows. Yeah. Stitcher went off after a bunch of big guys. I think someone tried to buy this American Life from Ira Glass, and he said the number was very big. And Apple definitely threw money at people. There are a bunch of shows that people paid millions of dollars for that never came out. We never got the Meghan Markle show. Remember that one?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And this was it. And so we had this exclusivity war over the entire pandemic because we were all home and all our only friends were our headphones. And they thought that was going to last forever because people are very dumb sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So now everyone has social time again. And that exclusivity war will end. It will end. It will collapse and we'll see the big money leave the business and we'll all have. And I'm not saying it's going to be back to 2008 times where we were all crazy and mumbling into, you know, USB headset mics. But I'm going to say that we're going to see a lot of small and medium shows with niche interests come back the way I think, you know, podcasting has resisted a lot of big media attempts to move in. One of the most successful shows is the New York Times Daily, right? It's a big media empire that just does, this is their daily news, morning news brief. But we're also going to see a lot of medium guys come back into the field. And I mean, I don't know what ends up on the Apple charts. I think it's semi-human curated now because my shows are not that popular, but I just checked and the shows I'm working on are charting again. We're not high, but you know, I'm talking about light bulbs for 10 minutes and I am the 117th most popular business news show now, according to Apple, whatever they decided. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to say no. And I'm putting it on my resume, but
I like it. So if you're seeing money leaving podcasting, possibly more in the future, are you seeing an exodus of listeners? Or are you thinking the listenership is still sticking around with less shows to listen to?
I think we see a lot of booms and busts. Like the first big boom in podcasting was about 2008 when it became an app on your iPhone. Like the standalone Apple Podcasts app was what blew it up, right? Because you had this button on your phone and you didn't know what you did. And you just clicked around and you found something you liked. There were a lot. And people like to say it was Serial that did that. But it was a lot. It was literally just the Apple button. And Serial was a big success story. And we have a bunch of people who are now in true crime junkies. And true crime shows are part of their media diet. But we aren't going to see We're not going to see like tremendous power listeners who have, you know, 20 shows in their feed all the time, but you're going to see a lot of people who have three or four. It's going to be part of their routine. It's going to fill time the way, you know, some people, you know, the way terrestrial linear radio did for a lot of people. You know, right. It was just on in the kitchen all the time, right?
Yeah. Are you seeing a redefinition of what a podcast is as listeners come from different areas using different platforms? Are you seeing a kind of a switch in definition about what a podcast is traditionally. When I listen to other shows about podcasting, it feels like there's like a snowball fight between camps about what a podcast is and what it isn't. And at the end of the day, I think it's almost up to the listener to really identify in their terms and in their perspective what a podcast really is. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm always going to be a stickler. It has to be an MP3 file enclosed in an RSS feed, right? It has to be that. That's a podcast. But I think there are talk shows on YouTube. There are documentaries on Spotify that are exclusive to Spotify. There are Audible is running serialized radio drama. Is that a podcast? No, it's a serialized audio drama. Even when you get the Welcome to Night Vale guys to write and perform it, it's not. But I think streaming audio on demand, you know, on demand shows that are audio or primarily listened to, because I know a lot of younger people prefer YouTube as their platform, even if it's just in the background. And I think that's just going to be part of people's what people listen to. And I'll sit back and be a stickler and say, well, if it's not on an RSS feed, it's not even a podcast. But we don't have iPods anymore, right? We don't have iPods anymore. And we're not going to, and no one felt the need to switch to call them smartphone casts anymore. I mean, I think there are a bunch of people who have smartphone casts in the sense that we do all of our production on our smartphones. But I think right now people's media diet is just going to be, there are things I listen to, and those are on-demand streaming audio shows, possibly with video enhancement, but primarily consumed for their audio value. And, you know, we'll come up with some name for them to satisfy me, the stickler, who's like, it's not a podcast, it's not an MP3 file enclosed in an RSS2 feed. But like Spotify's exclusive shows are not available on RSS feeds. There's only one now. They've turned all the RSS feeds back on for all their other own shows. But, you know, that Spotify exclusive radio show is just, well, it's a radio show on Spotify. There's a video too. Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, we can say streaming audio, because I think the reason why Spotify in particular got into podcasting in a big way was that they had enough app data to say, all right, the number one reason why people close our app is to switch to either an audiobook or to switch to a podcast app. And they're like, okay, we want to own everyone's headphones. So we're going to get in there, and we have to do it hard to get people to overcome the switch, the inertia switch, right? That inertia. And so I think, you know, probably people will just call it podcasting regardless, and I'll be mad, but I'm old and cranky anyhow. So I was going to be mad no matter what.
It didn't matter. Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Right. Because I guess, like, even going back to the beginning of podcasting, I've heard on other shows that video was an element of podcasting back in the day through an RSS feed.
Oh, yeah.
You can still watch video on Apple, on Spotify, and on YouTube.
Yeah.
Those are video platforms that are readily available. But I think the one big thing, I think when I talk to people who are interested in starting a podcast, video or audio, yeah, however you want to go there, is that the fact that podcasting from the day one was meant to be where you could get on, talk about whatever you want to talk about without anyone in the corner telling you what you can and cannot say. You can be reached anywhere in the world, and you can be available on a phone with a very limited data plan when connect with somebody far, far away and still reach them with an audio formatted podcast. And you can be found anywhere at any time with really no restrictions. That's the beauty of podcasting. And when we have a show that's only on Apple or only on Spotify or only on YouTube, that doesn't feel as welcoming and as open as podcasting was meant to be from the very beginning.
Yeah, no, and podcasting as a medium has been really resistant to when we see other media, other platforms start to have that in-shitification creep where the features get worse and they get more predatory on the users. And it's like, no, because we're built on RSS, a thing that was completely open from the start, from the jump, designed for that, can't really support the in-shitification, because when I started to go pro, people, you know, all our advertisers were really angry at us for it's like, why can't you tell us about all the audio? You know, you can give us all this data from YouTube, but you can't tell us anything about the audio clients. Not really. It depends on what their platform is willing to tell our host. For years, the third most popular podcast way to listen to podcasts was TuneIn. TuneIn.com. And that was just because TuneIn.com was the only way to play a podcast on a smart speaker. But they didn't tell, but TuneIn wasn't telling any of the hosts what it was. It was just this hash, this absolute word salad of a domain. And there were 12 of them. There were like 12 different versions of it. And you just see 12 different, you know, your download list would have like, oh yeah, just have this complete word salad URLs. And I don't know what they are. We didn't know. And TuneIn eventually told us, I'm like, smart speakers were the third most important thing. And we couldn't even adapt. We couldn't even figure that out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. For a brand new podcaster that comes and sits down with you at your desk and they want to pick your brain a little bit about podcasting, with all the growth you've seen and the changes over the years, is there a logical starting point that you would give to a brand new person with very little technical training? You have a lot of training.
Yeah.
But very little technical training. They have a passion, though. They have a topic. They want to talk men's mental health. They want to help single moms be a better parent. They have this thing that's burning inside of them. But tech is their enemy at this point. They need to learn. What would be your kind of onboarding process in that conversation?
I think the first thing I'm going to say is, you know, if you're passionate, I love passion. I love passion, right? This is an ad, this is a medium that runs on the backs of amateurs. And I mean that with the utmost love, because amateur, we're going to get linguistic here. We're going to get linguistic and say that an amateur, that's the root word of that is love. It's from love.
Love this.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah. So that's from love. And so when someone says, I've got a lot of passion, I'm like, great. I want you, first thing I want you to do is I want you to sit down and write 12 episode topics. Don't outline them. Don't script anything. Just give me 12. Just tell me you've got 12 in you. Because 12 is the hardest thing. It is impossible to record 12 episodes of a podcast. It is painfully easy to do 200 episodes of a podcast.
Yes. Okay, I'm following you. I'm good. This is good.
And if you can do 12 and you like, you don't have to like them all. You can have a couple that are junk. Because guess what? Because this is a serialized format, you're going to grow and develop. You're going to grow and develop, and you're going to pick probably out of that 12, pick your third favorite one. Your third favorite. Not your baby, not your darling. Your third favorite on the list. And just sit down with whatever you have. We all have webcams now. We all had to get webcams. We might have even gotten some okay microphones out of them. But just sit down with that and record your third favorite. Sit down, try to record it. You might need to pay for Zoom to get the recording thing. If you have a guest involved, you might have to go looking for something, but don't commit to a year long plan. Don't spend too much money on anything. Cause I know it's really easy to get the gas. It's really easy to get the gas when you're starting out, the gear acquisition syndrome. Gotta get me my SM7B. Can't be good without that. And I'm just like, record that with what you have and listen to it. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to keep it. You can always try it again. You can always throw it out and write a new third favorite, but just listen to it. And then if you're really committed to doing this yourself, you're really committed to sitting down and learning to edit. Well, now you have an audio file that you can work with and just play with it. Just give yourself permission to completely break it. Over compress it, over level it, you know, give yourself Darth Vader voice, do all the things, you know, just get,
what does this button do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's coming up at the end of the month. I have to go to PodCamp Toronto and I'll be giving my first technical lecture and it's literally called What Does This Button Do?
Good.
And, you know, give yourself permission to break it. And then, you know, if you don't like it, hopefully you still have a pot, you know, start, you know, start over from scratch, try it again, do it a little less. And then if you don't completely hate yourself having recorded and edited a podcast, the same podcast twice, you can probably record a second one, and then you can start looking for where to host them.
Mm-hmm.
One step at a time, and do, and when you're done a step, decide if you hate yourself or not. Decide if you hate doing it. Decide if you hate your title.
Yeah.
Some people, I know so many people who have to change their titles after a year, because I'm like, I am so sick of being, you know, Fanboy SmackDown. That doesn't make sense anymore.
I'm tired of saying it,
yeah.
And my listeners are also tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So you mentioned the PodCamp Toronto. The one thing that I'm on a hunt for is when I hear of all these great American events and conferences and all this great stuff, it feels like I'm getting kind of that jealousy rearing up in me that we need more of this in Canada. And I'd love to connect more Canadian podcasters together somehow. And we have geographic concerns that it's hard to get everybody together, obviously. But they're doing it in the States and they're doing it well. Tell me more about PodCamp Toronto and maybe what else is out there for Canadian podcasters outside of the US to connect?
I mean, I don't have a great answer for this. I feel like I've been off on my own in my corner doing my thing for so long. I'm often working with Americans. So that means I hear a lot more about, you know, events going on down south too. But so PodCamp Toronto, it's run by a volunteer group. It's becoming more and more attached to the Sonar network of podcasts, which is a bunch of shows set in Toronto. It's a network. They sell ads in bulk and they cross promote each other and appear on each other's shows. That, you know, classic network effect stuff. But they're slowly taking over more and more of what's going on at the show. Hopefully I'm not going to get in trouble for saying it that way, because it is an independently run show, but it's 2 days of talks, you know, lectures, workshops, hangouts. They also present the Canadian Podcast Awards there, and at the end of it, and it's just a good time. It used to be hosted out of the radio building at Ryerson. They've now moved to George Brown College, but that's still downtown Toronto. Still downtown in the city. I don't have a ton of great places. I don't know where to go in Vancouver, but I assume there's probably a better version of this in Vancouver, just because there are more people working creatively in Vancouver. There's probably a great French Canadian one I don't know about.
Yeah.
But right. I have no, if you're in Saskatchewan, I'm like, I am sorry. I do not know what to tell you, Saskatchewan.
Yeah. So yeah, one of the things I've been working on to kind of combat this is I created a meetup on meetup.com for podcasters. And last night I hosted an event and I had a bunch of Canadian podcasters. Somebody from Montreal was there. It's exciting to get in the room with people, even if it's virtually. At least we can do that and kind of work together and support each other, listen to each other's podcasts, give advice, be as a resource to each other. And community, I think, is one thing that podcasters need to develop better. Again, because we do a lot of this on our own. And it's nice when you can sit down with someone like we're doing right now and be like, I feel like I'm like filling my tanks just listening to you. So whenever we can do that virtually or in public, I think we need to do more of that. So if you're listening out there, wherever you are in the world, and you're thinking, there's nothing for me in my area, then maybe start something, even if it's small.
Well, right? Podcasters are such a DIY bunch of guys, right? Like we're all sitting around and we're saying, you know, every podcaster is sitting around and saying like, you know what the world needs? We need a 2-hour interview show about drywall professionals.
Or light bulbs.
Yeah, I am absolutely the guy to do that.
Yeah.
And what happens is that, so yeah, eventually someone's going to be like, no, there has to be more. It can't just be me. I can't be the only one in the Niagara region podcasting. So I'm just going to have to start the thing. I'm going to have to find out and figure it out and get there. And the other side of that is that I think when podcasters talk about community, it's about getting the listeners more engaged, right? It's more work. Like, community is more work for me. I have to set up the Discord, get the comment section going. I have to, you know, find my audience and get people talking to each other there so that they'll feel more attached to my show and buy more meal kits. But it's like, No, sometimes it is. Community has to be between colleagues too. And I think I'm going to loop this back. I'm going to do a callback. I'm good. I'm on the gas today. But
there you go.
When I talk about professionals broadcasting themselves, you know, this is about generating material for your colleagues too. So the drywall guy that I made up is like, no, sometimes he's just going to meet other drywall guys doing this. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, a profession that's really hyper local, like drywall, as opposed to, say, accounting, you can get an accountant anywhere, but you kind of need a drywaller to be in town. There's not as much competition where you don't feel bad trading secrets with drywallers in Florida. Because
right.
They're not going to steal your work.
Right, exactly.
And I think podcasting your work can be an opportunity to find colleagues that you don't have to compete with. And that can be really energizing.
Yeah, that's a great point. I like that. Because of your radio background, I want to lean on you for one other question. When we talk to sponsors for our podcast and we look at our stats and the amount of detail that we have, you know, it's really pretty robust as far as who's listening and where and some demographics and things like that, devices they're listening on. We get some pretty good information coming back to us from our hosting site. When I had a small business for many years, 10 years, I've had this little business. I got radio commercials back in the day and I had not a very good return on investment.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of money. I even did like special promos in the morning show and give away stuff. I did a lot of things and spent a lot of money. And one thing they couldn't give me was really any kind of idea of who heard my ad because of the nature of radio. It's kind of a river that keeps moving and you kind of jump in wherever the river is at that moment. You're kind of catching it in process, where podcasting is kind of a nothing happens until you press play type experience. How do we kind of navigate the whole thing about making money with your podcast for a business podcast? Any kind of words of wisdom on how do we approach people knowing that we have maybe a little bit more robust stats than a typical radio might have?
Well, all right. So when I didn't do any sales in radio, but I was trained to do sales in radio. And the thing about reaching out to your sponsors is not about telling them what you have. Because I can tell you like, oh yeah, no, guess what? I have so many iPhone users who are at their, most of my listeners are actually desktop. They are Windows desktop, which means they are answering their emails with me in their earbuds with, you know, everyone else in the office probably doing the exact same thing, right?
Right. Yep. Yep.
And I can tell someone that I can sit down and say, look, this is what I can tell you, Lightbulb. You know, this is what I can tell you, Keystone Technologies. Visit KeystoneTech.com. Try there. You know, it's light made easy. But I can tell them all day about what I can just hand them the spreadsheet that my host gives me, right? Here you go. And guess what? That doesn't matter. Cause it's not about you. You can't say we when you're talking to a potential sponsor. You have to sit down and you have to say, all right, what is your goal? What is your goal? What is your pain point right now? And you say, well, and some sponsors are like, well, I really need to get through to people who take the bus. And I'm like, well, all my data indicates that no one is taking the bus listening to my show because I don't have a lot of mobile users. They're all on desktop. Can't use a desktop on the bus. That's weird.
Long extension cord. Yeah.
So maybe I can't help that person in that case. But if they say, look, we're trying to get people more excited about this particular product. Again, like talking about light bulbs, I'm like, all right, you need to get people excited about, you know, emergency fluorescent tubes. These are tubes with batteries in them. So they turn on when the power goes out.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool thing. They're a great product. Energyfocus.com. I think they're going out of business, but we'll see.
There you go.
But so, all right. So if you need to get people excited about these emergency tubes, we're going to come up with a way to promote that. And we're going to sit down and I'm like, all right, so what I have are a bunch of guys in the lighting profession. I can tell you when they down, I can tell you about their listening habits. We can find something that makes them excited about this in a way that's relevant to them, because they are not going to be using these. Probably they're going to be selling them. So we have to talk to them about how to sell it. We don't say what the product does. We say how you sell it. We're going to instruct them on how to sell these emergency tubes. Some of that is just about listing off the features. Like, once again, ballast bypass compatible is a really big deal. If you're talking about LED tubes, it's technical. It doesn't matter to a lot of people. And the end user just wants to know, all right, but if it goes, like, I just pop it in. Yeah, you just pop it in. That's it. Yeah. Pops in.
Yeah.
Power goes out. It stays on. You escape. And you, so it's about it's about listening to what your client wants to do. And then finding what intersects with what you have. And sometimes you're just going to, you're going to crap out, right? You're going to crap out because their goals are completely different from yours. And sometimes you're going to get sponsors. Again, in podcasting, I make fun of mattresses, but a lot of podcast sponsors are just flooding the zone. They know that they know the average podcaster has these qualities. We want it. We're going to put as many podcasts on the same affiliate deal so that we don't actually have to pay them all that much, because it's all affiliate codes. And, you know, you're going to hear it on enough shows that you remember our brand and maybe don't remember all the affiliate codes. And we get the sale without necessarily the podcast actually getting the commission sometimes.
That feels like radio a little bit.
It does. Where
you're kind of throwing a wide net.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's obviously a lot of podcast advertising is wide net. But when we're talking about niche specific shows, you can be the narrow net. We can say, like, look, like, again, drywall guy that I made up. Drywall guy's like, look, you can turn around and you can go to every tape guy, every tape company you deal with, because you're buying drywall tape all the time, and say, look, I've got 5,000 drywallers a month. I think you need to give me $200 an episode to say the name of your tape every time. And I'm not going to do an affiliate code. I'm just going to come back every month and say, all right, this is how many views you got on YouTube. This was the reach on YouTube, because we're going to put your logo on the thumbnail just for you. And you're going to get that little ad. Even if they don't click, they're going to see it for 12 seconds. That's going to register the impression. And then you can just go, all right, that's it. You know, you come back and say, this is how many listens you got. This is how many impressions you got. These were our social stats. We were promoting really hard. We were promoting the show on Twitter really hard. We got a lot of pushback. We got a lot of push on it. So they saw your ad a lot. I think next year we'll talk about $200 an episode, right?
Exactly. I love it. Okay, Scott, you got to give us a little inside knowledge about what you're going to talk about at PodCamp. Just give us a little taste, just a tiny taste. Beyond the topic title, what are you going to be chatting about in that event?
So this is a 101 class. So I'm going to sit down with an audio file, probably the show I just finished editing. I'm going to come in with the raw version of that, and I'm going to sit down and say, all right, I'm going to walk through how I mix and master this.
Nice.
And just say, all right, we're going to start with this. Why do we start with this? Because the order you do things changes the end product. So if we change the dynamics before we change the noise level, do any noise removal, we're just going to be amplifying noise and working against ourselves. And it's talk about the process. And we're going to talk about some tricks. Like, I'm going to give you my favorite trick. This is my favorite thing about having music beds under someone speaking. You dig a trench, the dig a trench method. So normally when we talk about EQ, in podcasting, we're talking about using, changing the levels of certain frequencies, amplifying them so you sound better, right? We're gonna boost your 400 hertz because that's where a lot of the strength of your voice is. It's not as good quality, but we're also gonna add some air at the 2000 level, right? You're gonna add some air and you're gonna sound a little better. It's just gonna be a little better. The other thing you can do is you can make things that aren't as important your sound effects bed. If you're doing like an ambient sound effects thing for a radio drama or some sort of mood piece, or your music, if you're talking over music for a section, because sometimes I'm just talking to myself on these shows, on the two shows I make. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when I get off on a rant, I'm going to push that rant a little further by adding some music under it. So we're actually going to make, but what we're going to do is we're going to make, we're going to remove some of the frequencies from the music bed, because that will improve the clarity. So I would call it digging a trench, because I will boost my 2000 hertz to get more air into my voice. And then in the music bed, I will cut that same 2000 hertz band by about 6 decibels. And now you've got this spot where this section where I'm louder and a section where that's quieter. And it's better than just reducing the volume by even more, because you still get that. You don't have to do any sort of auto ducking. You don't have to fiddle with busing compressors. It's just you improve your clarity and actually make this less clear in a specific way. And it just sounds a little bit better, especially if you're layering in a lot of stuff where you have maybe music and a sound bed or sound effects of any kind.
Right. See, good. So there's a great reason to go to PodCamp Toronto and definitely check out Scott's class on that. I love it. Do you know, Scott, how often there is a PodCamp?
So it's an annual event.
Okay.
Usually it happens around University Reading Week, because then they can just use a bunch of classrooms in a university because they're empty.
Yeah. Okay. That's smart. Yeah. Good. Awesome. We'll put links to PodCamp in the show notes as well. But Scott, for you, as far as people reaching out to you to have you come speak, that's great. Or questions, or they want to work with you, or have a conversation after the fact, where do we go?
All right. So my personal website's it got hacked a while back, and I have to rebuild it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's great times. Great times. Pay for your extra cybersecurity options when you pay for hosting. But you can go to getagripstudios.com. They're my biggest client. So you can contact them. You can work through both of us. We've got a couple people that can help start on good. Either as a coach or as a production side. And that's great.
Awesome. And are you on like LinkedIn, social media?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I very often posting about how bad it is to be on LinkedIn, but there we go.
Well, that's good. Awesome. So we can connect with you there too. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, hey, Scott, would you come back in the future at all? Oh, I'd love to have you back.
I mean, certainly. We can talk about a bunch of things. I mean, I can certainly talk about, reporting or other podcast issues or whatever you want to talk about.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's keep this conversation going. I'm so happy you have time for me today. And I've learned a lot. Yeah. So, appreciate it.
No worries.
Good stuff. Okay, everyone. All the information in the show notes, as always. Please go support Scott. And go check out PodCamp Toronto if you're in the area. And we need a PodCamp in Montreal and out in Newfoundland. And let's go Saskatchewan. You need one too. Let's go.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a PodCamp. Just like Oprah. You get a car, you get a car, everybody gets a car.
There we go. It.
Thank you. Thanks, Scott. Hey, thank you for sticking all the way through to the very end. It's bittersweet. The episode is over and that we're done for this episode, but you will come back and I will come back, and you know, there's you and me and we're one big happy family here at the How to Podcast series, far beyond being just pod pals, which is fine, but I'd much rather do life together as family here. And to that end, a reminder, as we talked earlier in other episodes as well, that we do have a meetup group and you are invited. I would love to have you come. It's free. We do them scattered throughout our calendar, different days, different times, because we have people listening around the world, like Cuba and Warsaw, Poland. Hi, Cuba. It's amazing how we can reach the world with a podcast. So through our meetup group, what we do is we get together. It's free for you. Cost me money, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. We get together. We meet other podcasters. We talk podcasting. And it's a way to get from behind the microphone, sitting by ourselves, recording on our own, and doing community. Podcasters need community. You need to meet other podcasters. And just in a low-key, fun environment, talk podcasting. So my challenge to you in 2024 and beyond is to get into a meetup group, find other podcasters, introduce yourself, and make new friends. It's just like school all over again, grade 9. Let's meet each other and share the podcast journey. Go to howtopodcast.ca and click on all the information you'll find there around our meetups. And I'd love to have you there. Thanks for listening. Catch you on the next episode. Get out there and record your podcast. Take care.